So ultimately, Sugriva somehow or other just slipped out of Bali's grasp and ran away back into that 4-mile safety zone. Bali could not enter. Sugriva said to Ram, "You promised me that you would protect me. I was on the verge of death. I had to run away like a coward." Ram said, "I had my arrow pointed to pierce Bali, but you monkeys all look alike." "I couldn't tell which was you and which was Bali. I was afraid I might kill you. So Lakshman, make a garland, flower mala, out of nice vines and twigs and flowers. And you wear this flower garland, and then challenge Bali again to fight. And then I'll understand the one with the garland is you, and the one without I will kill." So Sugriva comes back into Kishkinda, Chaitra, into the kingdom of Bali, and cries out, "Bali, you coward, you..." "You are so fearful you are not willing to look at me in the face, but today I will conquer you, I will tear you to pieces. I dare you to come before me. I challenge you to fight." And Bali just roared with anger. But his wife, Tara, she was very intelligent. She said, "My husband, do not go." And Bali, he was so angry. He was being challenged. "I must go." Tara said, "Don't you have sense? You just defeated Sugriva. Why would he be challenging you again? It is obvious why. Because these two great heroes, Ram and Lakshman, have made a pact with him, an ally with him. They're all powerful. If you go out, they're going to kill you. Stay home. What can Sugriva do? All he could do is just say nasty words. Can't you see? You're walking into a death trap." But Bali, he had this very heavy Kshatriya male ego. When he's angry and he wants to fight, a woman is going to tell me what to do? She knows better than me. He completely dismissed all the words of his wise and faithful wife and charged out to fight Sugriva. It was an amazing fight. They were both punching each other and kicking each other and biting each other and scratching each other and gouging at each other and rolling all over the ground together. And again, ultimately, Sugriva was losing. He was crying, "Ram." And Sri Ramchandra, who was in some bushes behind a tree, released one arrow, which pierced the chest of Bali. Bali fell to the ground, covered with blood. And Ramchandra came before him. And Bali said, "My Lord, why have you done this? If you would have fought me face to face, it would have been a fair fight." "But why you're killing me in this way, hiding like a coward? Isn't this against the religious principles?" And Ramchandra said, "It is perfectly according to religious principles.
why you're talking about religious principles. It is the sacred duty of the elder brother to always protect the younger brother, even if he's a rascal, even if he makes mistakes. It is the duty of the elder brother to protect the younger brother. This is religious principle. Sugriva made an innocent mistake, and you tried to kill him, and you banished him. And it is the duty, according to religious principle, of the elder brother to consider the younger brother's wife to be his own daughter-in-law. And you have taken her to be your own. You have defiled all religious principles. And therefore, according to religious principle, it was my duty to kill you. And as far as hiding in the bushes, I'm a Kshatriya. And you are a monkey. And there is no restriction for a Kshatriya when he's hunting at the forest to have a fair match with an animal like a monkey. Bali heard Ram speak. He said, "Everything you speak is true. I am defeated. But I understand who you are, and I am glad to end my life by your hands." Bali, with tears in his eyes, tears of love, prayed to Sri Ram and chanted his holy names and welcomed death at his hands. Rama was very gracious and very kind to Bali. Why? Because Bali surrendered to Sri Ram. And Ram offered Bali a benediction. Bali had only two concerns in this world. He said, "I'm afraid for my wife, Tara. If only I would have listened to her. I am such a puffed up, egoistic fool. My wife told me exactly what was going to happen. But I would not listen to her because she was a woman. Just see. She was my real well-wisher. I wish that she will be protected. Sugriva, please protect her. And please take care of my son, my only son, Angada." Ramchandra and Sugriva both vowed to Bali that they would protect his wife and son. And then Bali, gazing at the beautiful face of Sri Ram, gave up his life after surrendering his heart to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After this, Ramchandra had Lakshman perform the consecrating ceremony of coronating Sugriva as the king of the Vanara race. Then they all sat together, King Sugriva, his chief minister Hanuman, Angada, who was the crown prince. They all sat to make their plans of how to find Sita. It was decided amongst all of them that the monsoon rains were just to begin, and it would be impossible to search for her at that time. Lord Ram and Lakshman would remain in Kishkindha for 4 months, and after the rainy season, then
the entire race of the Vanara monkeys would search for Sita under Sugriva's command.
On top of a mountain there was a cave called Prashravana. And there on that mountain, Prashravana cave, Sri Ramchandra resided for 4 months, meditating on Sita Devi. Today that cave is still there. How many of you have been to Kishkindha Kshetra? It is known as Hampi. Raise your hand, please. We went on Yatra there on 2 occasions. It's a very beautiful place. It's in Karnataka. Amazing place. There's Anjana Parvat, the birthplace of Hanumanji. And there's Pampa Sarovar and the caves of Shabari. Do you remember we had lecture in the caves of Shabari? It's such a cave, you have to crawl. It's only, from the beginning to the end, it's only this much high. Yes, like this. So you have to crawl. And we had a couple hundred devotees, and we all crawled deep into the cave. It was no light, pitch dark. No cross ventilation. And we went deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into these caves. People warned us that there were poisonous snakes and scorpions in the cave. And you can't see anything. But still, we were so enthusiastic that all the devotees, either fearlessly or fearfully, crawled deep, deep, deep into the cave. And somebody had a little light candle or something, just so that we can see. And I was narrating this, some nice stories about Shabari in the cave. And people were really listening to the story because they were afraid at any moment they would be stung by a scorpion or bitten by a snake. Yes. But nobody got bit by scorpions and snakes. But everyone was continuously eaten by insects. Do you remember? These insects were just biting, biting, biting all over the body, biting, biting, biting. And everyone was wondering when I would end this lecture. Vishakha Devi, do you remember this? And I gave quite a long lecture also. Everyone was... So now, whenever you hear me give too long of lecture, you could just feel relieved that at least you're not being bitten by insects constantly. And we came out of the cave, and everyone had a wonderful experience. And we bathed in Pampa Sarovar, but the local people said, be careful, there are man-eating crocodiles in Pampa Sarovar. We didn't see any, but they were there. And there's Madhuban, which is a place we'll discuss a little later. That was the favorite garden of Sugriva. And Anjana Parvat, where there's Hanuman's birthplace, incredible deity. There's a marble deity of Anjana, who is Hanuman's mother. And then there's a little deity of baby Hanuman on her lap. And little baby Hanuman, he has his club and his crown, and he's sitting like this on the lap of his mother. ready, sweet, sweet Hanumanji. And there's also Prashravana, the cave where Sri Ramchandra resided for those 4 months. And in that cave, there's a large black stone deity of Ram. And he has his two hands. One, his right hand, is chanting on a japa mala, and his other hand is touching his heart. And the great devotees there, they explain that the whole 4 months on his japa mala, he was chanting the names of Sita. And with his hand, he was holding his heart because his mind was constantly meditating on Sita within his heart. When the 4 months expired, there was no word from Sugriva. You see, Ramchandra, he promised his father, according to the exile, he was not to go into any type of civilized place. He was not to go to any kingdom, any town, any village, any city. He had to remain in the forest for 14 years. So he wouldn't even go to Kishkinda. He was just on a mountain outside. Sugriva, days passed. Chaturmasya was over. Weeks passed. No Sugriva. The reason? Although Sugriva was a very great devotee, now he was king, and he had opulences, and he had so much facility for sense gratification. In that environment, he became enamored. It was just too much for him. He became a sense enjoyer. And he was just enjoying fine foods and enjoying with his wife and enjoying luxuries and enjoying power. Krishna says in Gita, Bhogaishwaya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam yavashayatmaka buddhir samadhu navadiyate. That for one who is too much attached to material opulence and sense gratification, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. Sugriva was an example of this. Great devotee, made a vow to render a service to Sri Ram. But over 4 months, due to association with too much sense enjoyment, he lost all his determination. He was simply enjoying. And Hanumanji, who never touched sense gratification in his whole life, he warned Sugriva. He said, Sugriva, you are on the verge of being destroyed. You made a vow to Ram. What are you doing? You're just living a lavish, comfortable life. It's time to fight for Ram. You made your promise. We have to find Sita. Wake up, wake up, wake up, sleeping soul. You're on the lap of the witch of Maya. Jeev Jago. So Hanuman's words kind of shook Sugriva out, and he says, yes, let's start making plans to find Sita. Meanwhile, Ram was angry. He said, because of me, I put him in his throne, and now he's living such a comfortable, sensual life that he's forgotten all about his vow. He must be punished. Lakshman, you go down. And if he's not willing to carry out his vow, he's going to have to face us.
Lakshman was angry as fire. He was angry as fire. He came down from that mountain and came into Kishkindha, and Angada saw him and gave him a really good reception. And he said, "Actually, you know, Sugriva, he'll do it. He'll do whatever he said. Please, I want to come before Sugriva." And then Tara, who was Bali's wife, yes, she came out and she was pleading with Lakshman, "Give Sugriva a chance. Please give him a chance. He'll do whatever he said. He's just temporarily covered over in illusion. But he's already started making plans. You can ask Hanuman." And Lakshman, Sugriva was told Lakshman is waiting. When Sugriva saw Lakshman's anger, he fell at Lakshman's feet and begged forgiveness. Lakshman was pacified. He said, "Then you come now to the cave of Prashravana." And Sugriva went and met Ram and begged forgiveness. But Ram could understand, it is the nature of this world. Then they started making their plans. Sugriva divided all of the monkey soldiers of his, and they were unlimited, into four divisions. One would search in the north, one the south, one the east, one the west. After making elaborate plans of how to do, Lord Ramchandra called for Hanuman. He and Angada were in charge of searching in the southern direction. Ram said to Hanumanji, "I have confidence that of everyone, you will find my Sita." Ramchandra gave Hanuman his own ring inscribed with his name. And say, "When you show Sita this ring, then she will know that you are my representative and messenger." And Ram gave her a message through Hanumanji. And they were searching and searching and searching, but they found no clue. They went into a cave of this one mystical woman. And then they came out of the cave, and at one point they were so hungry and they were so thirsty and they were so tired, they just kind of fell to the ground, and they saw right over them was a gigantic vulture bird who said, "Oh, it looks like my meal has come right in front of me." And Angada, he was so tired and so famished, he just called out, "It looks like today we're going to die in the service of Ram, just like Jatayu was killed in the service of Ram. Similarly, we will." And the big bird said, "Did I hear you say Jatayu? I am Sampati. He is my younger brother. Please tell me about what happened to Jatayu." They explained. And Sampati was very sad with his death, but very happy that the Supreme Personality of Ram sent him back home, back to Godhead. Sampati, he said, "I can tell you where Ravana is. It's the island of Sri Lanka, 800 miles across the ocean from the coast of the mainland." He said, "Even right now, because of my empowered vision, I could see Sita in the grove of the garden of Ravana. She is there, and she is alive.
And I know for sure that you will cross over the ocean and you will defeat Ravana and you will win back Sita if you always remember the holy name of Sri Ram. Sampati had no wings. He told how when he was younger, he was flying high, high, high with Jatayu, and the rays of the sun were scorching, so he protected his brother and his own wings were burnt. And anyways, he told the monkey soldiers exactly how to find Sita. So how? They went to the shore of the ocean and someone had to cross it. Who could jump 800 miles? That was the question. Some of the monkeys said, I could jump 20 miles. Others said, I could jump 100 miles. Somebody else said, I could jump 200 miles. But to jump 800 miles? Angada, the powerful son of Bali, he said, I could jump 800 miles, but I don't know if I could jump back. And Jambavan said, no, you are the crown prince. You should not do this. There was dead silence. Nobody could do it. Then Jambavan spoke to Hanumanji. He said, Hanuman, you are very quiet. You have forgotten your own power and strength. It is no effort for you to jump 800 miles, Hanuman. Don't you remember? And Hanuman just, as if he woke up, he said, yes. And then Hanuman grew 50 times his own size. He said, I will jump the 800 miles and I will jump back and I will deliver this message to Sita. Then Hanumanji, he went on a big mountain, Mahendra Mountain, and he roared, and he jumped. His leap, the pressure of his foot coming off the mountain, caused the mountain to go deep into the ground. The roots and the herbs of the trees were just squeezed out by the power of his. Even the snakes and other subterranean beings living in the mountain were just squeezed out by the pressure of his feet. And as he jumped, the power of the velocity of the wind of his body was just uprooting trees that were flying along with him. Hanuman was flying over the ocean. And he was observing in all directions the vast sea. The god of the ocean wanted to render service to the servant of Sri Ram. So he called the mountain Mahinda. Yes? Mount Mainaka. Yes, the mountain Mainaka. And said, give Hanumanji a resting place. So the pure gold peaks of the Mount Mainaka appeared. And the deity of that mountain came forward with folded hands and told Hanumanji that you are working so hard, you have flown such a long way, with one jump, please come and rest for some time. We want to serve you. But Hanumanji had such determination. He said, I am in the service of Ram. I have no time for rest for myself. But still, I cannot refuse your hospitality. He touched the mountain with his hand and carried on. This was his determination. He was not thinking of himself in any way. He was not thinking of his needs, even of his own rest, even of absolute determination to carry out the order of the Lord. The demigods, they wanted to test Hanumanji. So Indra approached the mother of the Nagas, whose name is Suras, and told her to assume the form of a Rakshasi to test the determination of Hanumanji. So she appeared from out of the water, her name Surasa. She opened her mouth to a gigantic size. And she said to Hanuman, that, oh, this is very good. I am just hungry, and you are coming to fly right into my mouth. I like to eat the flesh and blood of monkeys. You cannot pass me. I have been given a benediction by Lord Brahma that no one can go by me without my ability to devour them with my mouth. So Hanumanji, he said, please, let me just give the message to Sita, and then I'll come back and you can devour me. She said that no one can pass me. And Hanuman expanded his body to 20 yojanas. She expanded her mouth to 30 yojanas. He expanded to 40 yojanas. Ultimately, she expanded her mouth to 100 yojanas in size. And Hanuman was 90 yojanas. Then suddenly, with his brilliant intellect, Hanumanji just reduced himself to the size of a thumb and jumped right into her mouth and walked down her mouth and down her throat and into her stomach and then walked back up and then flew out of her mouth and said, the benediction of Brahma has been honored by me. You have eaten me with your mouth. Now please give me the blessings to find Sita and deliver the message. And Suras, you're very clever, very empowered. I bless you that your mission will be a success. And Hanuman carried on. And he was just flying through the airways. All of a sudden, in the middle of the air, he wasn't going anywhere. Couldn't move. And he looked down, and there was the Rakshasi, Simika, who grabbed onto his shadow. She had the mystic power where she could apprehend anyone by grabbing their shadow. Hare Krishna. She pulled Hanumanji down and opened her mouth to a gigantic size to devour him. And Hanumanji just flew right into her mouth and went right down her throat and went right to her heart. He took a tiny size, like a thumb. And then when he got to her heart, he ripped it open with his claws
and then went to her other vital organs and ripped them apart with his claws. Samika was screaming, roaring in pain as blood was pouring out of her mouth, and Hanuman flew out of her mouth just as she fell into the sea, dead. Demigods were showering flowers upon Hanumanji as he approached Sri Lanka. When he approached Sri Lanka, he became very small size, and he came upon the presiding deity, who was a demoniac-looking, horrible female named Lankini. She was guarding the gateway. She said, "Who are you?" Hanuman said, "Who are you?" She said, "I am Lankini. I am the presiding deity of Sri Lanka. I am the maidservant of Ravana. No one can enter Lanka without my permission, and I will not allow you, foolish monkey, to come into Sri Lanka. Rather, today I will kill you." And she attacked Hanumanji, and Hanumanji slapped her. One punch in the face, and she fell to the ground. Now, according to Ramayana, Hanuman did not hit her with his full strength because she was a woman. He just knocked her down to give her good sense. And she came up and she said, "How blessed I am today. The prophecy has come true. I received a benediction from Brahma that no one could pass me, no one can defeat me. But he told me that the day will come when a monkey will punch you and you'll fall down. And that will be the day which is the beginning of the end of the Rakshasa race. This monkey will be the messenger of Sri Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this will be the sign that soon Ravana and the Rakshasa dynasty will be destroyed." She said, "Oh Hanumanji, with all my heart I give you blessings. Enter Sri Lanka. May your mission be successful." Hanumanji took the size like a cat. He didn't become a cat, he was a monkey, but he sized like a cat. He wanted to do a nice service. He wanted to see how everything in Sri Lanka was arranged, how it was fortified, the different ways that they were defending themselves, because this information would be very valuable to share with Sri Ram. But his main mission was to search for Sita. He saw incredible palaces, silver palaces, golden palaces, each one bedecked with priceless jewels. And he saw in each of these palaces were massive rakshasas surrounded by beautiful women. And he came to the greatest, tallest, most opulent of all palaces. More magnificent even than Indra, the king of heaven's abode. This must be the palace of Ravana. And he saw thousands of celestial beautiful, beautiful ladies who were all sleeping, exhausted by their services to Ravana. They were scantily dressed. Some of them were holding musical instruments. Others were holding various paraphernalia that they were utilizing for Ravana's pleasures. And they came into the main room where there was a huge bed made out of pure crystal, decorated with celestial flowers, emeralds, rubies, diamonds, gold, silver. And around the bed were the hundreds of the most beautiful ladies. And amongst them, one was extremely beautiful. That was Mandodari, the wife of Ravana. And laying in the center of that crystal bed, Hanuman saw with his eyes the mighty king of the Rakshasas, Ravana. Hanuman was taken aback with amazement to see the opulence and the power of Ravana. He was actually a beautiful personality with a massive, powerful body. He was extraordinary in every way. In amazement, Hanuman was thinking, if this personality simply was not envious of Ram and lustful towards Sita, he could be such a devotee. He could be such a devotee, he could control the universe on behalf of Lord Ram. After marveling over the power and grandeur of Ravana's sleeping form, Hanuman continued his search. So many things he saw, the gateways, various Rakshasas, what they were doing. Some were gambling, some were sleeping, some were drinking, some were having wrestling matches. But he couldn't find Sita. He was searching for hours and hours and hours throughout the night. Hanumanji began to lament. What has happened? Is Sita dead? Have Ravana killed her and eaten her? I don't see her anywhere. What am I going to tell Sri Ram? That I was not able to find her? How can I leave this place without fulfilling my mission? Hanuman was in deep anxiety, praying from the core of his heart, but he could not find her anywhere. Then he came upon a beautiful, ornamented garden known as the Ashoka Grove. And in that Ashoka Grove, he saw Sita. She was sitting under a tree, weeping, crying, chanting the holy names of Sri Ram. But she was surrounded by Rakshashi women. The sun was rising, and Ravana, dressed in very simple but elegant cloth, surrounded by some of his ministers and guards,
came into the Ashoka garden. Hanumanji, hidden in a tree, was watching as Ravana was tormenting her, trying with all of his prowess to seduce her. But Sita was defiant toward him. Ravana said, "You submit to me or you will die. Why are you attached to this Ram? Who is this Ram? Such a weak, cowardly person. He accepted exile from his own kingdom and he's living in a forest. What type of Kshatriya is this? He is not a man who can protect you and give you pleasures of this world. My whole kingdom and all of my queens will be your maidservants. I will take you to the most delightful scenic places of the heavenly planets and we will enjoy for thousands of years to come. Submit to me and be my queen." Sita replied that you are a coward. If you had any courage whatsoever, why did you steal me when Ram was away? I would just as soon die a million times than be touched by you, you wretched creature. Rakshasa Ravana was infuriated. "I will give you till the end of the year. And if you do not surrender to me, then I will eat your flesh and drink your blood for my morning meal. And that is my vow." Hare Krishna. And then he told the Rakshashi guards, harass her, intimidate her, until she surrenders to me. Ravana left. And these horrible Rakshashis, some of them had hunched backs, some of them had one eye and forehead. They were really horrible looking people. Some of them had claws, like birds instead of hands. Ugly creatures. And they surrounded Sita, threatening her, intimidating her in every possible way. And Sita was just crying, looking down on the ground, calling out the names of Ram. And ultimately, when the Rakshashis went some distance away, Sita was about, with her own braid of hair, to strangle herself. She was losing hope. 10 months had passed and Ram had not come. Now Hanuman was thinking how to give Sita the message. If she sees me, she's certain to think that I'm Hot Ravana in disguise. So Hanuman was in a very small size and she couldn't see him. He was hiding in a tree just above her. And he started singing the glories of Sri Ram. He sang the glories of the birth of Ram and the heroic activities of Ram. Explained the whole life of Ram up until the point where Ravana had stolen her. And then he explained how Ram, in such deep separation, was weeping and crying practically day and night. And how he met Kabanda. And how he met Hanuman at Pampa Sarovar, and how he made alliance with Sugriva. And how he was a personal messenger of Ram that came to deliver the message to Sita. He sang all these things. And Sita was feeling great happiness hearing. And then Hanumanji jumped and appeared before Sita. "Ah, you are Ravana! You are Ravana in disguise! I will not accept you! Get away from me!" And Hanuman pleaded with her, "I am Ram's messenger." And Sita felt the love of his heart in her heart. And then Hanumanji took out the ring of Ram and showed it to Sita. And Sita said, "You are the messenger of Ram. Please tell me, what is the condition of Ram?" Hanuman explained, "He is now in Kishkinda waiting for... He doesn't know where you are. He's waiting for me to tell him. Very soon he will come and he will conquer the entire race of Ravana and bring you back to him. Do you have any message you wish to give Ram through me?" And Sita said, "Please have him come soon, because Ravana can take my life at any time." Hanumanji said, "Why don't you come with me right now?" Now Hanuman was still small size. He was less than half the size of Sita as he was talking to her. Hanuman said, "Jump on my back and I'll take you right away." Sita said, "How will I jump on your back?" And Hanuman realized he was tiny size. He became huge, like a mountain. He said, "Jump on my back, I will take you." Sita said, "But if I jump on your back, then how will I hold on when you are going through the wind so fast? And besides that, I am a chaste woman. I cannot touch any man except Ram. Ravana forcibly touched me, but I will never touch any man except my husband. And if somebody else delivers me from Ravana, that will minimize the glory of my husband's heroic personality. So he must come himself to rescue me." And Hanuman honored Sita's faithfulness. Then Sri Hanumanji was given by Sita a precious jewel that she would wear on her hair, and said, "Give this to Ram and he will know for sure that you have seen me. And tell him, please come quickly." Bowing his head to Sita, he had fulfilled his mission. But he wanted to do some extra service. He wanted to face Ravana and speak his mind to him. So the Ashoka Grove was Ravana's favorite garden. Hanumanji started ripping out trees. There was a beautiful temple. He started destroying the temple, creating chaos. And the Rakshashi women there, when they saw this gigantic mountain of a monkey just plundering the ruination of the whole garden, they ran and they reported it to Ravana. It is a long story, but Ravana was sending some of his chief generals. And the first batch of generals that came were a whole military of thousands of powerful Rakshasa soldiers. Hanumanji just stood on top of the gate and uprooted a metal pole from the gate and just went through all the Rakshasas, just pounding them all with this metal pole. Thousands lie dead. The message was given to Ravana. "Who is this monkey?" He sent some of his very, very powerful generals. Hanuman killed them all. Then he sent one of his own sons, Aksha. There was a great battle. And ultimately, Hanuman just picked him up and just pounded him on the ground
till he was just a lump of bloody flesh. Ravana was very angry then. And ultimately he sent Indrajit. There was a great battle between Hanuman and Indrajit. But Hanuman was thinking, I want to be captured because I want to speak my mind to Ravana. I want to give him one last chance. Indrajit sent a mystical rope which bound up Hanuman. And then Hanuman was dragged into the court or into the assembly room of Ravana, who was sitting on his throne. And Ravana asked, who are you, monkey? He said, I am the messenger of Lord Ramchandra, the minister of Sugriva. I am Hanuman. And I have this message for you. You are a despicable coward. You have stolen Sita when her husband was away. Give back Sita and live. Otherwise, Ram and Lakshman are on their way, like death personified. Ravana was insulted by his words. He told his soldiers, kill him. But Vibhishan said, this is against the laws of Kshatriya code. You cannot kill a messenger. You can punish him, but you cannot kill him. He's just come as a messenger. Ravana, what kind of messenger? He's killed my son. He's killed my generals. He's destroyed my garden. Hanuman said, well, as far as destroying your garden, I'm a monkey. That's what we usually do. You can't blame me for doing that. And as far as killing all these tens and thousands of rakshasas, that was self-defense. They attacked me. I didn't attack them. I'm just a messenger. According to codes, you cannot kill me. Vibhishan said, yes, you cannot kill him. You can punish him. But you must let him go. So Ravana said, monkeys are very proud of their tails. Set his tail on fire. Drag him to the streets of Lanka. Humiliate him in every possible way. Let his entire body be burnt. And if there's anything left of him, he can go back and give my message to Ram. They took cloths, soaked it in oil, wrapped it around Hanumanji's tail, and then lit it on fire. Then took him to the streets and were beating him, and saying horrible things against him to humiliate him in public. And Hanumanji was very happy that he was accepting this wonderful persecution on behalf of Ram. But then he was thinking, he wants to do some extra service. So by his mystical powers, he reduced his size so he could easily slip out of the ropes. Then he just leaped right out of the coils of the ropes and then grew into an immense size with his tail on fire. Then he jumped from place to place, setting the entire city of Sri Lanka ablaze with fire. And the Rakshasas were trying to stop him. It was impossible. Some of them were just enjoying all kinds of illicit, intoxicating sense gratifications, and he would just jump on their building, set it on fire, everything burning. And Rakshasas from the very high stories were just seen jumping out of their windows on fire to the ground, dead. Thousands of people were burning alive. Hanumanji was just jumping. Everywhere he jumped, just fire. The whole city of Sri Lanka was in total chaos. There was screaming and shouting and suffering everywhere. It was mass hysteria, and there was nothing Ravana or anyone could do about it. He was literally terrorizing everyone. Tens and thousands of people burning alive. Billions of dollars of property was just dollars, I don't know, then by today's, was just being burned to the ashes. All that you could hear was just roaring and screaming. And Hanuman just kept laughing and laughing. Meanwhile, someone approached Sita Devi and told him what Hanuman, told her what Hanuman was doing. And she prayed to Agni Dev that although Hanuman's tail is on fire, he should not feel any heat. So Agni Dev made the fire very cool and refreshing. And as Hanuman's burning everyone else to ashes, he's feeling very cool. And he was wondering why. And then he understood. Sita is praying. And after he created devastation to the Rakshasa dynasty, Hanumanji got on top of a big mountain and roared so that everyone could hear, including Ravana. He said, I am just one insignificant servant of the servant of Sri Ram, and you have seen what I can do to your city and your armies. There are hundreds of millions of monkeys more powerful than me. And Ramchandra is billions of times more powerful than us. Give back Sita, or we will all be back to destroy you. Everyone heard Hanuman's words. And then he jumped into the ocean and put out the fire on his tail, and then got on a mountain and jumped back to the mainland. And when he arrived, the whole earth shook. And all the monkeys headed by Angada were anxiously awaiting the news. And he explained everything to all of them. I found Sita. I gave her the message. And they were all dancing and embracing Hanumanji and giving him fruits and giving him words of praise. And they were just having a festival of joy. They returned to Kishkinda. And there they went to the Madhu Mountain Garden of Sugriva. And they were having a great, great festival in honor of Hanuman's success. And in the process, they destroyed Sugriva's garden. And ultimately, they brought Sri Hanumanji before Lord Ramchandra. And we will end here. And if you like, we can continue this afternoon. What time would you like to return? It is now 1:30. To take prasad, and then I think all of you would like to rest after prasad. How many of you would like to take some rest after prasad? How many of you are against taking rest after prasad? Time. Huh?
Govinda Prabhu says 4:30 or 5. 4:30 or 5 means 5. So we will meet here at 5 o'clock. And actually, what I spoke this morning is just unprepared thoughts that I have from long ago, but just as an introduction to the wonderful pastimes that have taken place here in Sri Rameshwaram. And what we will hear this afternoon especially is the glories of Vibhishan, who surrendered to Ram here at Setu Banda. And the building of the bridge across the ocean. And the extraordinary love and gratitude that Sri Ramchandra has for Hanumanji, for his unconditional service. So we will end with a short kirtan and meet here. We'll start right at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Kirtan will begin at 4:30 and then lecture at 5 o'clock. And as far as I understand, everyone, tomorrow morning it is scheduled that we will all be going to Dhanush Tirtha.